The sun rose over Port-au-Prince on February 7, 1986, but the air felt different. For nearly 30 years, the Duvalier family held this land in a grip of iron and mysticism. Now, a U.S.-supplied cargo plane waited on the tarmac. Jean-Claude Baby Doc Duvalier climbed the stairs and left his people a vacuum. We often hear that Haiti is a place of endless tragedy. That is a lie, told by those who do not want to look at the hands holding the strings. What followed that morning was not a simple transition to freedom. It was the start of a modern era defined by the heavy, suffocating weight of outside interest. This is the history of a nation trying to breathe while the world keeps its hands around its throat. This is the story of interference. The departure of a dictator is rarely a clean break. When Duvalier fled, he left behind the Tonton Macoute and a military that knew only how to rule by the gun. We saw the streets fill with people who believed their time had finally come. They called it déchoucage. It was the uprooting of the old system. But while the people cleaned the streets, the powerful were already looking for a new face to manage the island. The international community wanted stability, not necessarily democracy. They wanted a partner who would keep the assembly lines moving, and the migration stopped. In 1990, a priest from the slums named Jean-Bertrand Aristide won the first truly free election in our history. He spoke of dignity. He spoke of the poor sitting at the table. To the elite and their friends in Washington, he sounded like a fire they could not control. 7 months later, the guns returned. A military coup sent Aristide into exile. The United States responded with an embargo. It was meant to starve the generals, but it only starved the people. Rice and fuel became luxuries. The factories that provided the only steady wages in the capital shuttered their doors. While the generals got rich on the black market, the average Haitian saw their life's work vanish. We watched as the boat people began to flee toward Florida in thousands. This was the first great consequence of the vacuum. The world had punished a nation for a coup it did not want. Led by men the world had previously trained, the pressure built until 1994, when 20,000 American troops landed. They called it Operation Uphold Democracy. Aristide was returned, but he was returned on a leash. He had to agree to the very economic reforms that had crushed the poor for decades. The interference was no longer just about who held the gun. It was about who held the ledger. The pendulum of Haitian history does not swing toward progress. It swings between different forms of occupation. By the early 2000s, the hope of the 94 return had soured into a bitter standoff. Aristide was accused of using his own armed groups to hold on to power. His opponents, backed by foreign interests and former soldiers, began a march from the north. In February 2004, history repeated itself. On the bicentennial of our independence, a U.S. plane once again carried a president away into the night. Aristide claimed he was kidnapped. The world called it a voluntary departure. The result was the same. A new force arrived under the blue flag of the United Nations. They were called MINUSTAH. They were supposed to bring peace. Instead, they brought a decade of structural humiliation. For years, we lived under the gaze of foreign soldiers who did not speak our language. They patrolled our neighborhoods in white armored vehicles. Then came the earthquake of January 12, 2010. In 30 seconds, the earth did what the coups could not. It leveled the capital and killed hundreds of thousands. The world responded with billions of dollars in pledges, but the money did not go to Haitian builders or Haitian doctors. It went to international NGOs and foreign contractors. We watched as the Republic of NGOs rose in the ruins of our homes. The most stinging betrayal came later that same year. UN peacekeepers from Nepal dumped their waste into the Artibonite River. They introduced cholera to a population that had no immunity. 10,000 people died from a disease brought by the very people sent to protect them. The UN denied responsibility for years. They hid behind legal immunity while our families buried their children. This was the true face of the pendulum. One hand gives a bag of rice while the other poisons the water. By 2011, the interference moved into the ballot box. Foreign diplomats pressured the Electoral Council to change the results of the presidential race. They wanted a businessman, a singer, someone they could talk to. They got Mike L. Martelli. His administration, and the one that followed under Jovenel Moïse, were marked by the disappearance of billions of dollars from the Petrocaribe Fund. This was money intended to build schools, roads, and hospitals. Instead, it vanished into private bank accounts and luxury villas. When the people took to the streets to ask where the money went, they were met with silence and state-sponsored violence. The state began to fragment. To maintain control, the political class began to arm gangs in the slums. They used these groups to suppress protests and ensure votes. They created a monster that they could not eventually lead. The fragmentation reached its breaking point on July 7, 2021. A group of foreign mercenaries, mostly Colombians, entered the private residence of President Jovenel Moïse. They shot him in his bedroom. This was not a popular uprising. This was a professional hit in a country where the state had already ceased to function for the people. In the years since that night, the gangs have grown into a paramilitary coalition. They control the ports. They control the roads. They decide who eats and who moves. The world's response has been consistent with the last 40 years. They formed a transition council in foreign hotels. They sent another mission, this time led by Kenya, funded by the United States. We are told this is for our own good. We are told this is the only way to restore order. But we have seen this order before. It is an order that prioritizes the stability of the region over the sovereignty of the nation. It is an order that sees Haiti as a problem to be managed rather than a people to be respected. Since 1986, the story has been the same. A crisis is manufactured or ignored until it overflows. Then, foreign boots land on our soil to fix what their previous interference helped break. We look at the streets of Port-au-Prince today and see the wreckage of four decades of outside interests. The gangs are the children of the political class, and the political class is the child of foreign intervention. The weight of this history is heavy, but the truth is heavier. Haiti did not fail on its own. It was systematically dismantled by those who claim to be its saviors. Until the hands are removed, the pendulum will keep swinging, and the vacuum will remain waiting for the next plane to land.